We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
A couple of things I want to encourage you on tonight. First of all, you have, or you should have, a new prayer bulletin. Can you guys believe it's August already? How many of you have kids going back to school? Can I see your hands? Look at all these happy people in here. The summer's almost over, and kind of on the tail end of summertime. Of course, in Florida, it'll feel like summer all the way up through October. We know that. But let me draw your attention to a couple of things in our prayer bulletin for the month. First of all, the bottom of the inside page, can you guys see and can you rejoice tonight that says 18 people accepted Christ as a Savior this month? Amen. We had several families on Sunday that we are following up with, some at the 9:30 and some at the 11. We also had a teenager accept Christ on Sunday, all through our main worship services. And so we have actively this week been pursuing them and following them up. And then for the month of July, we had 31 first-time guests come to our services. And so it's been a tremendous summer. I think one of the highlights of our summer so far this year, though, has been Vacation Bible School and all that has happened. Of course, we're very grateful and thankful for all of you who served, and tonight will be no exception. We've got a group of folks who are going to be leading a team all the way over into Romania. And so in just a few minutes, I'm going to have them come, and Nathan and Pastor Micah are going to talk to us tonight, challenge us, encourage us, and kind of give us a window, a picture, if you will, and to all of the things that are happening there. I do want to let the church know that one of our members passed away, Jim Quayle. He went home to be with the Lord. There is a service for him tomorrow in the chapel at 10 o'clock. And so just a reminder for those of you that want to come to that service, please be in prayer for the family. And then, of course, be in prayer this month as we, if you look at the back of your prayer bulletin, all of these missionaries there, you can stay in touch with them. Come October, which will be our missions month, our webpage will be fully updated, and you will be able to gain access to all of our missionaries through the web, find out what's going on. We'll keep that updated, as well as always when you leave the facility, you can stop by our sort of our mission walkway there as you leave and catch up with all of the missionaries. And one of those missionaries that we support is Gerald Ziemer. And how many of you have met the Ziemer family? Do you guys remember the Ziemer family? Well, his daughter graduated second year Word of Life. I was actually there at the graduation, and she got a really big award. I can't remember what it is. Does anybody remember what it's called? Where's Andy? Christian Leadership Award, and she got that out of, I don't know how many students, but went up there and congratulated her, told her we were going to Romania, and excited to be with her family over there. She's actually off to South Africa, I think it is, for a couple of years, and so following in the footsteps of her mom and dad being a missionary. You know, I'm so thankful. I remember with great fondness in my heart, the very first trip I ever took to Romania. The impact that it had on my life, the way it altered my view of world missions, the way it changed me internally, the way I looked at missions completely was revolutionized. And I want to encourage you here tonight as a church family to do a couple of things. First of all, if you've never been on a mission trip, make plans to go on one now. You need to go. You need to go on a short-term one. Even if it's not leaving the country, we're working now, you know, for the next several years, planning some missions trips, and where do we want to go? What do we want to do? Of course, you can always take a missions trip on a Sunday and go into the nursery. You could. I mean, it won't cost you much money. You might lose some hair. You might lose some grace, but you can go in there. You can go into the children's ministry. Amen. If you're really adventurous, you can go into the teens. God be with you, all right, if you do. But I can't stress to you enough the importance of taking a short-term missions trip. I know there's arguments for and against it, but I very much am for them. And I think it's healthy for you and I to take these trips to be able to better understand what's going on in the foreign field and to get a feel for what our missionaries are going through, what life is like for them on the field, the struggles that they have, and to actually come alongside and partner with them and to be shoulder to shoulder with them and to just be right there and get a sense of what God is doing. And so I want to urge you tonight. You're going to hear some things. You're going to see some things. When they come back, there's going to be sort of a wrap-up, a presentation. I hope it'll start a fire in you. I hope it'll start something inside of you that says, you know what, the next trip that I go on is not going to be a vacation. I'm going to put my money aside, and I'm going to go on a mission trip. I'm going to make that my priority. So I hope you'll do that tonight. So I'm going to invite Nathan to come. He's going to spin us up on a couple things, and right after that, Pastor Micah.
Good evening, everyone. How's everybody doing? It's really awesome to see everybody here on a rainy Wednesday night during the summer. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about our mission trip, but before that, we're going to be talking about the Zemers as well. So I'm going to be talking about the who and the what, and Pastor Mike is going to be talking about the why. So instead of just doing a missionary update, we're going to be talking about the mission trip as well. So I believe the Zemers are actually one of our most recent missionaries that you've taken on to support. Is that right, Pastor Micah? Oh, okay, never mind, I guess I was wrong. But we got introduced to them by Barry Van Wetchel, and the Zemers have been married for 25 years, so they know more about marriage than I know about life. But that's okay. They have four kids, Michael, Karina, Zachary, and Brianna. As my dad said, we actually got to see Karina graduate from Word of Life Bible Institute, and their oldest son, Michael, actually graduated from Moody Word of Life Bible Institute as well, because the Zemers, they went to Word of Life Bible Institute. So it's really awesome to see all of them going to Word of Life and then going back out into the mission field. Karina's going to Africa. And then Michael, he's actually going back to Romania with his wife, Alina. And he's going to be a soccer coach for the sports ministry that they have there. And she's actually a doctor in residency. So I think that's pretty awesome. So the main work that the Zemers are doing is located in Fundula, Romania. Now, Romania itself is not a third world country. Actually, I learned that recently. Romania itself is not a third world country. However, the village that they're in and the part that they're in Romania is a third world part of the country. So they're in there, and they planted a church, and they actually were able to plant several other churches as well. But when they first got there, they planted a church, and the main work they were focused on was evangelism and discipleship. And as their ministry began to grow, they began doing other ministries. They have a sports ministry now, and they also have Camp Eli, which is where we're going to be at. A few years ago, our church actually took a missions team to Romania to visit the Zemers. And they actually, I think we have a picture of that as well. It's an old picture. Look at that. And they liked us so much, they actually invited us back. So we're going back this year. And we have a new picture of the new team that's going, but unfortunately, I don't think everyone was able to be in one picture, so we have two photos, and that should capture everyone that's going. I actually have the privilege of being able to go this year, which I'm really, really super excited about. I remember my dad always going to Romania, and I always hated when he left, but when he came back, he always has such awesome stories to tell, and he always brought us back a cool little gift. So that was good. I think I went to Romania when I was about 7, so I'm just super excited to go back. I've heard nothing but good things about Romania, and so I'm going to be telling you a little bit about the work that we're going to be doing there. We're going to go to Romania, and we're going to bring the VBS that we had here to Romania. We're going to be doing the time-lapse VBS over there, except we're not going to have the whole time machine and everything. That won't fit in my suitcase for some reason. But we're going to be doing that, and it's going to be, instead of cramming our VBS into 2 weeks, into 2 hours in 1 week, we're going to be doing an all-day VBS for a week. And it's going to be more like a summer day camp than a VBS. So we're going to still be doing everything we did here. If you helped in VBS or if you volunteered for that, you're going to know a little bit what that looks like. We're going to have a lesson time. We're going to have crafts. We're going to have a game time. We're going to have all of that. And then that's going to last all day. And it's going to be really awesome. And I'm really looking forward to doing that. And at the end, we're going to have some evening rallies. So we're going to be leaving Friday morning. We're all meeting at the airport at 9 a.m. So it's bright and early at the airport at 9 a.m. And then we're going to be landing in Romania at 1:10 p.m. Romanian time. So we're going to be landing on a Saturday, kind of get over some jet lag. And then that Sunday, we're separating into little teams, and we're going to go out into all the different church plants. I have the opportunity to be able to be preaching at one of the church plants with a team, and one of the members of my team is going to be teaching a lesson. Another member is going to be doing something else. And all of our teams are going to go out and to the different churches that Sunday. That we're all going to regroup. And then starting that Monday, our VBS kicks off. So we're going to be doing the VBS all week, all throughout Monday through Friday. And then after Friday, on Saturday, we're going to have some R&R. If there's some ministry opportunities, we're going to do that. Or we also might go sightseeing. And then that Sunday, we're going to stay in Romania instead of coming back right away. And then we're going to be doing what we did the last Sunday, going out into the different churches, ministering there, preaching the word, and ministering to the kids. And then we're going to fly back on Monday. So the total trip is through August 3rd through August 13th. So the VBS in a nutshell, the mission trip in a nutshell, is we're going to the Zemers in Romania to do a VBS there to minister to the kids. So if you're asking yourself, what is this mission trip about? That's what it is. Our team is going to Romania to visit the Zemers to help them do a VBS. Some things you could be praying about for the Zemers. First is that they recently started a ministry in their church called a New Believers class, and that's been really beneficial for them, just telling new believers what it means to be a child of God and what it means to be a Christian, because a lot of them know next to nothing about their faith. And another thing they asked to pray about is for their sports ministry. They're trying to be able to purchase some turf for that in their sports ministry, just to make it easier for them to be able to do that. And some prayer requests for our team is that we would be effective tools in the hand of God. Pray for us not to go there with big heads thinking that we're kind of the heroes going there to rescue them or whatever. No, we're not doing that. We're there to serve God by serving them. And instead of praying that everything goes according to plan, I know it's good to have a plan, but instead of praying for everything to go smoothly and for everything to go according to plan, pray that God would give us the strength and the ability to be okay when things don't go according to plan. Because we know that God is sovereign, and we know that he has a plan that's not always our plan. Pray for us to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. For when things go wrong, we would be able to have the faith in God to keep on going and to keep on ministering. So I'm going to pray, and the Pastor Mike is going to come up and talk about the why. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this awesome opportunity for me and for everyone on our team to go to Romania for this mission trip. I pray that you would please give us strength and you would please give us faith. Please keep us from dissension from within our team. I know a lot the devil wants to attack us from within. And also, Lord, please keep us from attack from outside as well. I pray that we would be an effective ministry to the kids there, that we would see many lives come to know you, and that would be a great encouragement to the Zemers. Please keep everyone safe, and in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Can we give Nathan a hand? We appreciate him, and I won't get another chance to say this to you in front of him, but he's been interning with us for the summer and been working hand in hand with me and has just done an excellent job. And I appreciate all that you're doing and then heading over to Romania with us. And we're excited to how God's going to continue using him in the days ahead as he continues preparing for ministry and goes back to Moody. And so but before that, we're glad that he's heading on the trip. And so we're excited about all the things he just mentioned, what we're doing there in Romania. It is absolutely remarkable what Gerald Zemer has been able to carve out of absolutely nothing. As in, when, you know, this is the second time taking a team now, and when you visit and see all the camps and see all the things, and you just like, flashback 25 years ago, nothing's there. And how God's used him is absolutely incredible. And we get a chance to be able to go and partner along beside him. And so Nathan already did a wonderful job just unpacking why and the who and the what of the trip. And so I just want to talk to you exactly why we're doing this. And so take your Bibles to turn to Psalm 96. And we're not going to get there for a while, so just don't think I forgot about it, okay? So Psalm 96, we're going to get there in just a little bit. But we're going to talk about why of the mission trip. Why are we doing what we're doing? Why do we do this every year? Why is it so important? What's the purpose behind why we're doing what we're doing? And so in Psalm, we'll get to that a little while later, because we're going to start off with a lot of different various texts, selected texts. We're going to read a lot. Most of these, all these verses are going to hit the screen, and we're going to cover a lot of them pretty quickly. You know, the example in the path of a short-term missions trip has really been blazed by none other than the Apostle Paul. And you can read all throughout it. We've been going through the book of Acts, which is super exciting, on Sunday, and seeing all of the many different places where Paul has traveled and the churches that have started and the place that he ministered. You can just go place after place, see the back of your Bible or a simple Google search for Paul's missionary journey and see everywhere that he went and see a timeline of how long he stayed in these places. And he traveled from place to place to place. He was a short-term missionary. Romans 11 tells us he was an apostle to the Gentiles. And he himself was a Jew. He himself was a Jew and went outside of his people group to minister to people that were of a different culture, that thought different, a people that he at once really despised and hated and wanted nothing to do with and thought himself better than. He finds himself in the middle of these folks ministering to them. And he traveled all over the Middle East, planting churches, training leaders, providing resources. And, you know, as a church, what we know is one of the aims of what we want to accomplish and what we desire to happen through missions, the goal of every short-term mission trip that we do is we aim to benefit the work of our long-term missionaries that are there. This is what we want to do. We want to benefit what is happening. We All of our short-term trips are to already established works, and we do whatever we can to support that work. And we want to come alongside and partner and complement what Gerald is doing. And we want to be able to help him and assist him in all the ways that he needs. And we certainly don't want to compete. We don't want to inhibit what God is doing there. And we have lots of trainings. You should know if you're ever considering a missions trip, or those of you that have, we have lots of trainings and lots of equippings to make sure that we have the right mindset, that we serve with the right spirit, that we understand that there are things that we do that may be socially acceptable here that don't work over there. And we want to make sure that we are trained and adequately prepared spiritually, physically, and in all the right ways that we need to be able to facilitate the trip. You know, when Paul wrote the letters to these churches all throughout, whether they start in Acts and they tell the story of the church of Galatia and the church of Corinth and Ephesus and so forth, when he wrote these letters to these churches, there's a pattern that emerges. And I found it really fascinating looking through that last week and this week. Last week was a crazy week, wasn't it? I had a little bit different scene than I do right now, last week, you know, at this time. But it was a wonderful week. I remember studying and looking through this, and it was fascinating looking through all of the different things that Paul gleaned and how he viewed all the different places where he went and ministered. And there was so much of it that resonated with me being on multiple trips now, and I can certainly relate. Many of you, I hope, will be able to relate as well. And so I'm going to list a couple of goals, three goals of what we want to accomplish, three goals of a missions trip, and what we desire to do whenever we take a trip, and what I hope you will desire to do one day if you take a trip. And I hope you do. I say if, when you take a trip, and you get to be a part of what God is doing, I hope that you'll consider this. And so as we look at it, we're going to give you several things, and there's some notes for you if you want to keep up. There's selected text, and we'll be all over the place, but hopefully you'll be able to keep up with where we're at. And so goal number one of what we want to strive to accomplish here is simply this: the mutual encouragement and edification of the missionaries that are there. We want to be able to benefit, to encourage them, and them to encourage us. In his letter to the Roman church, Paul longed to see the Roman believers there. If you know the story, he wanted to get there and wanted to get there. And the reason was so very evident that he wanted to edify them. He wanted to encourage them. You see in Romans chapter number 1, verse number 11, he says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, that the end might be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." He wanted so very desperately to come in and encourage, and he says, "I know that by giving of myself and encouraging you, that I myself am going to be encouraged." Now, I want you to think about this. Many times we don't think about someone's job or their vocation. We just don't put ourselves in their shoes very much. But the life of a missionary is a very lonely one. The life of someone off overseas can be very lonely, exhausting, and simply just feeling completely isolated and all by yourself. We understand to a degree what some of that may be, because everybody from Florida, nobody's from here, right? All your family's somewhere else and different things. I mean, you're like, I want to go back home, and we love to go to North Carolina, and we have all these things back home. But really, relatively speaking, 10 hours trip, and we can be back home, and we can visit. And that's just not possible for our missionary. They're not possible for them to jump on a plane and come back home as much as it can. And when they have the knowledge, and more than just the knowledge, the assurance of knowing that people care for them, they love them, and we are going to spend time loving on them and writing them and sending them checks, and then doing more than that, saying we want to send ourselves, and to be able to say, when you know that somebody cares, they show up at your door, right? They show up and they say, "Listen, I care about you, and I cared enough to come all the way. You couldn't come to me, but I came to you." It's life-giving to those in the field. It's this drinking water of like, wow, this is refreshing that these folks have come all the way from wherever it is they've came from, Newport Richey, we've come all the way down, and we wanted you to know that we are behind you and that we love you, and we're so behind you, we're here, and we want to yoke up beside you and help you in the ministry. You know, Paul reminds the church of Corinth that he was with them in their time of need. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." One of the things that happened the last time we were in Romania, this is just the culture, the way that things are in other, we don't know things like this. As much as we complain about our government, it's nothing compared to what other countries and cultures have to deal with. And the corruptness that takes place is absolutely obscene, and it defies logic so many times. Some when we went in 2015, we actually partnered with another church and were able to send an overseas container over to Romania. Now, we packed up. This other side of the church building over here used to be a gymnasium. We packed up this gym floor. We started at Barry's shop. We worked. I mean, we collected clothes. We collected all kinds of, and we just packed half of this overseas container full of all kinds of goods. And it was our dream, Barry's dream. What we wanted is to be able to unpack that container when we were there. This is what we want to do. We want to unpack the container, lay out the gym floor. We have grand plans, and God's like, you're not doing that, right? You know, you have all these plans laid out. We want to be able to unpack it. What happened was there are agents this happens in many different countries. They hold your possessions. They hold your container. They hold it for extended periods of time until you pay them a certain amount of money to release their container. They're bribing you, and you are going to pay. We're not going to release your container. We're not going to give it to you. They'll keep it locked up for as long as they can and just keep bribing you and just crooked, and there's nothing you can do about it. If you bribe them enough or pay them enough, maybe they'll eventually release your possessions. You know, Gerald, being there for years, realized the only way to get this container, the only way this happens is if you don't leave, right? You just stay. And he stayed there for days. Like, he didn't leave, slept in his van, slept out there at the whatever office that is to get his container, and just stayed there. And much of the trip while we were there, he wasn't even able to be there at the camp for, because he was off just fighting for that container and trying to get it out. And eventually this happened, and Gerald had come and was able to come back, but because of that, he was really sad and just missed the entire week, and we were sad. We wanted to spend time with him, but it didn't work out. He wasn't able to get this container, and then finally God worked it out, and they got the container. We're excited to actually go see the gym floor, but because God allowed our team to go, we were able to run the camp, which is why we were there anyway, but we were able to yoke up there beside him and his workers primarily, and we're able to repeat the words of the Apostle Paul to Gerald, like, we're with you in weakness and trouble. When you need a need, we were there. We were boots on the ground, ready to assist, ready to serve. So you don't have to think about what's taking place here. You can go do what you need to do. This isn't any bragging on us. This is God put us there in that situation to be able to handle that and to do that. And we're so excited. You know, the ministry of presence, just being there, encourages and edifies in ways that just can't be replicated from a distance. Just being there, right? We've had that phrase, you just had to be there, right? You just had to be there. You know, there's all kinds of people when you have a need, like you need help moving, and somebody's like, I'll pray for you. Like, I could use it if you were there. If you were there, that would be a great help. If you were there, there's a need in the children's ministry, like, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. Like, I could use your body. I could use you in here. I could use this happening. You know, the most valuable thing you can give anyone's your time. Amen. People taking time off of work and saying, listen, I want to have a ministry of presence. I want to go serve. I want to yoke up beside you in weakness, in strength, whatever we can do to be an encouragement. And we want to encourage. We want to encourage Gerald. We want to encourage the work, encourage those that are laboring there. Now, this wasn't a one-way street with Paul, because he knows, he communicates this, and we know this, that it wasn't all about the encouragement he was able to give, because Paul was not a selfish guy. He didn't boast in what he was able to do. He talked so many times and through so many different passages of Scripture and verses that he received the encouragement. He said, I went to be an encouragement, and you blessed me by your faith. You blessed me by how you served. And I've had this occasion, I'm sure you have, many of you as well, that after going to try to encourage somebody and try to be a blessing to somebody, that you leave encouraged yourself because of how they're reacting to things, how they are serving, that you yourself go to be a blessing and you receive the greater blessing. This happens so many times. You go to give and God gives right back to you. And so as we go on this trip, we want to go for mutual edification and encouragement. We want to be able for that to be back and forth, for us to encourage and for us and for us to be able to encourage them. We also want to be able to go because when we go on a trip, when we go and give some time to the Lord, no matter whether it's overseas or it's across the street, when we give ourselves to giving ourselves to mission and doing what God would have us to do, we find ourselves desiring mutual encouragement and edification. And goal number two is prayer. We want to be able to pray and intelligently pray for the laborers that are there, those that are working, those that are are serving in these village churches and the work that happens. You know, prayer is the most powerful thing we can continue to support our missionaries with. Above the dollar bill, the most important thing that we can do is pray. And I think as Christians, sometimes that just rolls off of our tongue a whole lot easier than it does in practice and in reality. There's something so very powerful about having boots on the ground and being there and seeing the need. It was Jeremiah told, communicated in Lamentations, that his eye affects his heart. That when you see what God is doing, when you're immersed in it and you see what's happening, your very soul is stoked and excited to see how God is working and how God is serving. You see, the actual trip is only part of the experience of a mission trip. You make relationships with people and you forge prayer bonds with people and you get to meet folks on the other side of the world that you'd never get to know and you never get to meet, and you're able to understand their need and be able to pray for them so very intelligently. Paul tells the believers at Rome, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayers. He tells the church of Corinth, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you in Christ Jesus. He tells the believers at Ephesus, I seek not to give thanks to you, making mention of you always in my prayers. He tells the church of Philippi, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making my request with joy. He tells the church of Colossae, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. The church of Thessalonica, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. He tells in the church of Ephesus how he prays in Ephesians 1, that God may give them wisdom and revelation and knowledge, that they be enlightened, that they would have the hope of God springing up within them. He tells the church of Colossae later that they'd be filled with knowledge, that they could walk pleasing unto the Lord, that they could be strengthened in the power of his might. How in the world, did you think about the specificity of how he prayed? How did he know to pray for those things? He'd seen it. He'd been there. He understood the need that was there. How did he know to pray for them? He'd been with them. Paul had seen the work, and he knew the people and the connectivity that he had. This connectivity, when you go and you serve along people and you serve in the trenches, they endure with you, and they resonate with you, and you pray for their work, and you pray for specifically for their individual need. You see, though we are separated from our brothers and sisters geographically on the field, we are not separated spiritually. We're separated by thousands of miles, but yet we can whisper their name in prayer. No distance lost there. God is ever able, ever present, ever willing, ever desiring to answer those prayers. You may not be able to go on a trip, but we can all pray, and we all should be. We all should be. Prayer for their ministry, those that are serving, is certainly the most powerful thing that we can do. And so we desire to have mutual encouragement and edification. We desire to be able to intelligently pray for the laborers and the workers. And I love this one. Goal number three is we want to celebrate God's greatness. Celebrate his glory. You know, it's very easy for us to become very self-centered about what we can do, what we can accomplish, what it is that happens. And sometimes we get back and they're like, how many people got saved? What happened? And it just becomes, what did you do? What did we do? What happened? And we love to hear stories about how this happened. And we love to hear stories of decisions for Christ, or how many houses were built, or how many resources were distributed. And all of it may be true. And if it is, then praise God. Wonderful. But we aren't going, and never should go, to celebrate how great we are and what we did, because we're not. We're nothing. We're beyond insignificant. We are not the great American Savior. God hasn't called us to celebrate ourselves, but to celebrate him. And when we get back, we get to say, look at what our God did. Look at what our God's doing over in this other country. Look at what God allowed for this man and his family to do out of nothing decades ago. See, missions is never about us, but always about God. It's never about us. This holds true for VBS. holds true for camps, for retreats, for life action things, for missions, conferences. All of these things have nothing to do with us. You and I play a role, but we can't believe our own hype. That's pretty dangerous. Amen. Not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Jesus said in John 4, and herein is this saying true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap whereon ye bestowed no labor, and other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. You know, Paul talked about to the church of Corinth, I planted, Apollos waters, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything or he that watered. He's not nothing either. But God gives the increase. What it is that happens and transpires is not just a one-time event, but a culmination of many different things. And we're not going to do anything but celebrate God, to magnify him, to assist, to encourage, to pray, to come alongside. We must never make the ministry about something that we did. I must continually be deflecting that back to God. Isaiah 42:8 said, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. You know, on dangerous ground when we do that, and it's so easy for us to do that. I've done it. It's so easy for us to, well, this is why this happened, because I did this and that. No. As you read through the Pauline letters, you come to a very interesting conclusion that Paul never boasted about what he had accomplished, but rather about the labor and the fruit of the churches. What it was that was happening there. Bragging on the church, bragging on what happened there, celebrating what God is doing. He tells the church of Thessalonica, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the church of God, in your patience and faith, and in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. We glory in what God is doing. When we return, we want to be able to tell of other people's stories who are laboring diligently. We get a chance to tell other people's stories that will never get a chance to come and speak to you. We'll never get a chance to stand in front of you and say, let me tell you about a faithful servant of God. This is what Paul did here in his letters many times. Let me tell you about somebody you're never going to get to meet, how faithful they were, how faithful they are. And that ought to encourage us to be like, man, if somebody can do it halfway, and with a tenth of the resources, our job, and shouldn't be to ever brag about what we accomplished, but to build a bridge to those that are on the field who have no voice, and for us to be able to magnify Christ, magnify him, celebrate what he's doing, because ultimately, missions is about God's glory. It's all about him. And so our mantra, our goal, I'm going to be sharing this passage in more detail with our team on the field, Psalm chapter 96. I didn't forget about it. I'm going to close. Psalm 96 says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth, and sing unto him, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. This is what we want to do, and not just out there, but here. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wondrous works among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. The fuel of missions is a desire to see God glorified and worshiped in every nation on the earth. When we catch that heartbeat, it revolutionizes the way that you live your life, the way that you breathe, the way that you interact, the way that you interact with others. Stoke that passion of evangelism within you, not just for international missions, but where you're called, your local church and place of work. I mean, we say this continually, but you don't have to jump on an airplane to do God's work. You don't have to do that. You can and you should serve now. Mission should not be defined by the length of the trip or the distance of the flight, but should be a daily lifestyle we lean into because of Christ's call on our life to declare him as King. It should be a daily call that we lean into. 14 of us are leaning into that this week. 12 are leaning into that right now with the youth ministry and more in the children's ministry. Over 100 people leaned into that call last week during VBS. Dozens upon dozens in music and worship and discipleship and evangelism. No matter what it is that you're doing, we all We have this missions emphasis in October. You don't have to wait. We all need to be on mission, and we all need to be serving. And so if you're not leaning in with us, would you decide right now tonight, say, I'm going to lean in with you. I may not be on that airplane Friday, but I'm leaning in. I'm getting plugged in. I want to find a spot. I want to find a place to serve. I want to take a mission trip across the parking lot, over here across the hall. I want to get plugged in. I want to lean in. This is why we do what we do, why we're taking these trips, why we do mission, and why it's important for us to stay on mission. Let's glorify God. Let's make sure we're praying and we're focusing on what needs to be focused on, and we're giving glory to our Almighty Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have a chance, a privilege, a great joy to be involved in your work. It's a joy beyond our, we don't deserve it, Lord. We have no right, we have no privilege. The fact that you bestow this great honor upon us, Lord, is humbling. It's beyond our ability, it's beyond our capacity to do the simplest of tasks. It's beyond our capacity to be the spouse that we need to be. It's beyond our capacity to be the teacher, the leader, the discipler. It's beyond our capacity to fly to the other end of the globe and do a work in another language, in another culture. But you've called for us to live beyond our capacity, to live in the power of the Spirit. And God, I pray that we would be a church that is passionately pursuing being on mission for you. And if we're not on mission, or if we've strayed away from that mission, Lord, may you draw us back to center. May this just be a timely reminder for us to be on point. Help us, Lord, to be redeeming the time. The days are wicked, the days are evil, and there's too many days that we've wasted. Lord, may we be productive for your name's sake. Help us, Lord, we pray, on this trip. And as a church, may we serve you and honor you. And may we take time to celebrate you, promote you. It's not about us. Lord, may we make much about you and your kingdom and all that you've called for us to do and all that you call for us to be. In Jesus' name.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons, or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.